Hi guys, it's Trevana, your insanely passionate real reading advocate, and welcome to Save My Preschooler Radio. Today we're going to be talking about the beginning. How did it all begin? How did I become an insanely passionate real reading advocate? Today's episode is a little bit longer, but you're going to want to stick around for it. So the big question is this: is your preschooler worth the fight? We have a major crisis in America. I call it today's destructive reading crisis, and if you let it lay hold on your child, it can kill dreams and stop success dead in its tracks. The solution? Save your preschooler. Join the fight for real reading advocacy and give your preschooler a real shot at reading success. This podcast is here to keep you encouraged and help you to navigate through any confusion or negativity you may meet along the way. My name is Trevana Parker. Welcome to Save My Preschooler Radio. Hi guys, it's Trevana, and today I just wanted to kind of get on here and tell you guys about how it all began. Like, how did I become the insanely passionate real reading advocate? And I just want to kind of share with you guys the actual journey that I've gone on through the years to get to where I am now. So it's been an interesting process. So just bear with me as I kind of process the journey myself. But I remember it was nearing the summer one year. It was about a decade. It's been close to about 8 years ago now, six to eight years ago. I was walking down the street with my four girls, and we were just getting started on our daily walk. We had started a routine, and we were walking down the street, and just down the street, just a few houses beyond my own, we met a lady, and we were fairly new to our neighborhood, so she wasn't familiar. In fact, we were fairly new to the state, so not much was familiar to us, and I'll share a little bit more about that maybe another time. But anyhow, as my children waited to get along with our walk, I ended up having a rather robust conversation with this neighbor of mine, and it wasn't too unusual because she was an older woman. She was a grandmother, and I just always got along with older women. I just love to sit at the feet of an older woman and listen to her experiences and what she knows, try to glean some information. So it wasn't that odd that I was sitting there talking to her for a while. I mean, some people think I have an old soul, and I tend to think that I do as well. But I'm not even sure what we talked about that day. And I'm sure we talked about many things like the weather, hair, the neighborhood, and probably just a whole bunch of other things. But there was one topic, however, that we talked about that has impacted me the most: education. You see, it was a school day and I was out walking around with the whole school children. So why weren't they in school? Well, you guys know I homeschool. I always have. And the making of our homeschool decision is something that I can go into more detail with you about a little bit later. But when the neighbor found that I homeschooled, she was quite intrigued. So she began telling me about her granddaughter, who had recently failed her third grade state assessment test, both in math and in reading. So in that one encounter, in that one conversation, that one topic, education, played a major part in the direction that my family has gone through over the past few years. So, but as I was sitting there talking to her, my children were kind of getting antsy. So while I enjoyed the conversation with her, I had to end it to keep my commitment to my little ones. So I started wrapping up the conversation. Then it happened. Right there in the middle of the block on that bright morning, I was asked to tutor my neighbor's granddaughter. A lady whom I had just met was entrusting me with her grandchild, a child whom I had never met. Now, there has to be some kind of frustration, some kind of fear of a child's future to just, you know, to commit to something like that with a neighbor right outside, you know, someone you had just met. But right there, right in the middle of the block, I accepted the opportunity. It was actually quite unexpected, and it happened so fast that I'm not sure that I really processed my answer before I gave it. I do know that there are some key reasons that I would have that would have led me to make such a decision. One was I had already witnessed some things that I thought were troubling when it came to education. Two, I really do like to help. And three, I really can't stand to see a child struggle academically, especially with reading. So that's why I agreed to give it a go. The only thing is, I didn't know much about tutoring. So I spent the rest of our walk trying to process the situation I had gotten myself into. So during our introductory chat, we had made arrangements for my neighbor to stop by my house a little bit later. She was going to bring her granddaughter to meet me and we would discuss all the details of the tutoring. So when we returned home from our walk, I contacted almost every teacher I knew to ask what a good pricing structure would be. Most everyone was excited about my opportunity and they told me that I should be wise in my pricing structure. They informed me that private instruction is a big commitment. And they reminded me that I had 5 children and that my time was valuable. There was a variety of teachers that I contacted too. There were new teachers, seasoned teachers, teachers who taught different subjects, teachers from different backgrounds. And the consensus was the same. Do not charge anything less than $25 an hour. And I'm like, perfect. I got it. Good job. Thank you guys so much. When I spoke to the grandmother, I charged $15 an hour. Yes, I know what you're saying. I should have listened to the teachers and that price was too low. And I agree, guys. I really, really agree, especially looking back. But I really had no clue about the actual work that goes into tutoring. And I really wanted to help. So pricing wasn't necessarily an issue at the time. Yeah. But after some time, I did begin tutoring this young lady. And I even began working with other children. But I kept my eyes open because as I worked with them, on the outside, I was just trying to help them pass assessment tests and ease parents' minds. But then one day, one of my students called himself stupid. And it was clearly something that he had heard about himself before, the way that he felt about his abilities, but it was horrible. And it took me back to the day that I met that grandmother. Because when she brought her granddaughter to me, to meet me, the granddaughter sat at the bottom of my stairs while the grandmother and I just kind of stood around talking about the situation. And every single time the grandmother told me more about her, more of the details about her struggles, her head sank lower and lower. She was seriously hurting. And so was this little guy who was sitting here calling himself stupid. So I said to myself, this goes way deeper than assessment tests and parent satisfaction. Children are really hurting. And if something isn't done, they're going to fall prey to what I now call today's destructive reading crisis. See, with today's destructive reading crisis, when children can't read, they struggle in other subjects. When they struggle in reading, they miss out on different opportunities. When they struggle to read, they lose confidence. And when they lose confidence, they fail their exams. When they fail their exam, they lose confidence. They lose confidence, they fail their exams. It is a vicious cycle. And I've talked to enough parents who struggle with reading themselves to know that the problems that affect children don't go away. They affect them all the way through adulthood. Now, it was like seeing a child in an emergency situation. Like, yeah, I could bandage up the wounds, but I really had to see what was needed deep down if there was going to be real healing. So yeah, on the outside, I was tutoring. On the inside, I was asking myself, how can I make that feeling of worthlessness go away? How can I give these children confidence? I began trying to find the answer to these widespread reading struggles. And I noticed that some of the parents were not as involved as they needed to be. But I also heard stories about how the schools and teachers didn't care. Was it the parents? Was it the schools? I don't know. I began digging deeper to find the culprit. And to my shock, I found that it wasn't necessarily either the parents or the schools. You see, although parents and teachers have problems, it really was the system. That's right. The current approach to teaching reading is horrible. You have these big publishers pushing the same old curriculum. They promote the clunky 5 components of reading along with the super slow letter a week system, and this is a recipe for disaster. The 5 components don't promote poised, confident readers who are ready to meet major milestones, and yet they are so prominent and used everywhere. And as people continue to rely on them, they're making all types of bad reading decisions, and it's the children who suffer. So I decided to tackle this with what I now call the 3 real components of reading success. Now, I didn't have a name for it initially, but I mustered up the confidence to present my idea to our local library, and the children's librarian agreed that it was promising. I was allowed to present the program to the public, and it was a huge success. There were many lessons learned and many testimonials that I got from that program. Said things like their children went up a few levels in reading, or that they were just so pleased at the results and how the great strides that their children were making. And there was so much progress made. Some parents even hired me to work on work one-on-one with their children. And it was great. And I really, really enjoyed it. The only problem was the fact that I still met children who were hurting so badly. And it was so heart-wrenching to see the frustrations of the struggling readers and their parents. Now, I just wanted to save these children from the pain. By the time they met the assessment, children had lost confidence and parents were burned out from the stress. It's like I had in a moment where I'm thinking, would these precious children have to go through these embarrassing reading struggles if their parents had been encouraged, empowered, and equipped from day one? How much heartache, frustration, and money would these parents have saved if they had advocated for their children during their preschool years? So I began to think about ways to save preschoolers from the fear and failure that goes along with today's destructive reading crisis. So I began to reach out to pre-K teachers via some social media groups that I wanted to share my excitement. I wanted to garner up support and, you know, kind of bounce ideas off people. It was a shocking experience, to say the least. Excuse me. Although some of the teachers were very receptive, many, if not most, started shooting the whole idea down. They started talking about children needing to play and how reading basics were too advanced for small children. And I'm like, guys, I'm not talking about giving preschoolers a college education. I explained that I knew they worked hard for their preschoolers. And I mean, they really did work hard. They were very committed. They spend a lot of money for their little kiddos out of their own pockets. They wanted their children to have a great preschool experience, but they simply didn't understand that after the whimsy of the preschool years, many of these children are facing a different world with vastly different expectations. So I tried to tell them about the downcast faces of the children that I worked with, about the fear and frustrations of the daddies and the mommies, about how this program, the approach that I was going to use, didn't require a lot of work, a lot of stress, and it didn't take away any playtime. Some were willing to give me a moment of their attention, but many of them, not at all. They started throwing out all this research and all these theories and all this backlash. It was so much pushback. And I was saddened. I'll be honest. I really was. I was saddened. Partly because I didn't expect such resistance. I had processed it in my mind. I had used the materials with my own children and others. I created them with other people in mind. As questions were asked of me, they worked. The process worked. I use it in the library program. It worked. So I really was saddened by the resistance, but I was more saddened for the children and their care, because I fully understood the fact that today's reading crisis is tearing children down. I fully understood that the preschool years are prime time to begin building a reading foundation if you know how to do it properly. And I fully understood that you can quickly teach preschoolers foundational reading skills without taking too much time. Why were they so resistant? I mean, some of them were already using the letter weak approach, and that approach only holds children back. So I'm like, why are they willing to try that approach and not this approach? And then I figured it out. It's another one of those mainstream things that people just do because that's what they're expected to do. And I don't even think they really think about it. And I'm not sure why we as humans do that, why we stick to something that's clearly not working just because it's familiar. But I was at my wit's end. I was asking myself if I should just give up on the whole idea. Then I got a call. It was the dad of one of my students from the library program. And I really enjoyed having his son in my program, so I was eager to hear how he was doing. But dad wasn't calling about that son, though. He was calling to tell me about his younger son, who had just failed kindergarten. And I was thinking, what? He failed kindergarten? They do that? And yes, his son did fail kindergarten, and he wanted my help. He also wanted me to help his preschooler while I was at it. And I agreed. Then I found that there was one little catch. He would only have his sons throughout the summer for 1 month. And so he had 1 month, 30 days to make it happen. Could we do it? Did we do it? Yes, guys, we did it. Dad was excellent. He was extremely committed and extremely supportive. Working as a team, we definitely made some great strides. And he was so thankful. And it was at that point that I got the confirmation. I knew I needed to get this out to help save more preschoolers. I would have to become a fighter for little ones, because who should fail kindergarten? I would have to help build bridges from the whimsy of the preschool world to the world of testing beyond logic. I had to help build bridges between home and school and grandma's house and the library. I would have to encourage, empower, and equip people to think outside the box of a letter of a week or the five components. I had to show preschool parents and teachers how it was possible to teach the letter names, the letter sounds, and even a word to associate with each letter in two languages in about 30 days or even less. I had to show them that there is a far better way than the five components of reading. I think I've said that before, but guys, really, there is a better way. I had to show the reading community that if the research doesn't yield results, the results need to become the new research. And this is not just for the reading community, but the preschool community as well. I knew, guys, that I would never be just a tutor again. I had officially become the insanely passionate, real reading advocate who coaches parents and other caring adults in the different yet oh so purposeful and proven science of real reading advocacy. And that's my story, guys. That's where I am. That's why I do what I do. There are so many people out there who need so much help and so much direction. And if we continue on down this path just because it's comfortable, just because it's familiar, we're doing a huge disservice to children. We're causing them to fail. And today's destructive reading crisis does not care if it's your child, if it's mine, if it's your pre-K classroom, or if it's someone else's, if it's your school district or someone else's. It is taking children left and right. So that's why I do what I do. And I thank those people who joined me on my journey. And I also invite you guys to join me on my journey of real reading advocacy. Look back for more information. Please subscribe to this podcast and get information as we continue to publish. So I think that's it, guys. You guys have a great day. Remember, it is time to get real about the seriousness of reading struggles. Bye now. Happy reading.